RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Still broadcasting from the fourth floor of RRI Building in Jakarta. Welcome back, listener, on Indonesia Today. This is a program that takes you closer to Indonesia. And now it's my turn, Rahma, to present the program till the next 2 hours with various interesting programs and information that you won't miss. And today's special program of the day, we have a program that reviews newly launched book and film on book film review. Then we have a music program on Meet With. So keep listening at voi.co.id, voi.co.id. Or for more direct link to the video streaming, you can click english.rriworldservice.com. So listener, why don't have to wait any longer to enjoy this next program? This is book and film review from Voice of Indonesia. Check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo reminds not to be afraid and defeated by acts of terror. Presidential palace security tightened following sarin bomb. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminds that the state and the people should not be afraid with the linked bomb blast at Jalan Tamrin Central Jakarta on Tuesday morning. He said on his walking visit to Cirebon and Majalengka West Java that Indonesians should not be afraid and defeated by the acts of terror like this, and he will soon return to Jakarta. President Joko Widodo asked Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan to carry out coordination with the security forces to immediately arrest the perpetrators and the entire network of the bombing. Security at State Palace has been tightened following bombings and shooting at Sarinah in central Jakarta. Even though President Joko Widodo is based on tempo's observation, there are more than presidential security officers than usual at the State Palace entrance from Jalan Majapahit, and they are inspecting more thoroughly vehicles entering Presidential Palace and State Secretariat. Officers standing by the entrance at Jalan Merdeka 3 are also aided by 4 people. 6 people are seen at the post. 1 bomb disposal vehicle is also seen patrolling around the parking lot and checking every vehicle at the parking lot using an X-ray. 7 explosions occur in Sarinah area. The motive of the bombing is still unknown. 3 suicide bombers blew themselves up near a police post in Jakarta Theater Building at Jalan Tamrin Central Jakarta on Tuesday morning. 3 Veranto executive officer at Bank Mandiri Building located near the site of the explosion witnessed and stated that the first and second explosion occurred in a Starbucks coffee shop at around 10:40 a.m. local time. He also said that the third explosion happened near the police post and hit the 3 suicide bombers and a police officer. Some 5 to 7 explosion and a shootout occurred near Sarinah department store and the Starbucks coffee shop in central Jakarta on Tuesday morning. Tamrin area is now being isolated as police officers are chasing some suspected terrorists. The police headquarters said the explosion around Sarinah Plaza, Central Jakarta, killed 6 people. 3 of them are the suspected terrorists and other 3 are police officers. As reported by Business Indonesia, spokesman of Police Inspector General Anton Charlian said on Tuesday that the police lost at least 3 personnel. As reported earlier, 2 foreign nationals whose identities remain unknown performed suicide bombing at the traffic police post located opposite the Sarinah Plaza at around 10 a.m. local time. The 2 men approached the police post on a motorcycle and stopped to ask for direction. A few moments later, a sound of explosion was heard from the post. A Gojek driver, Saipul, who witnessed the incident, said that he also heard sounds of a gun fired from inside one of the cafes in Sarina Mall. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises will facilitate 150 cooperatives and small and medium enterprises to go international. Deputy Production and Marketing Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Iwayan Dipta said the cooperatives and small and medium enterprises are expected to explore the international potential to increase their export, including job opportunities. Iwayan Dipta said on Wednesday that cooperatives and small and medium enterprises to go to overseas exhibition will first go through a selection process. The product should follow international standards so that it imparts a tin of spirit for selecting participants. It will also cooperate with related ministry or agency to identify which markets are estimated to have the potential for huge profits. Some economists are predicting that Bank Indonesia BI will lower its benchmark interest rate or BI rate this month. Chief economist at the Development Bank of Singapore DBS, Gundi Cahyadi, said that there is plenty of space for a BI rate cut following the low rate of inflation last year. According to Central Statistics Agency BPS, 2015 inflation rate was at 3.35%, below the government's 4.0% target. Meanwhile, an economist with Kenta Institute, Eric Sugandi, projected that Bank Indonesia rate will be cut by 25 points to 7.25%. Given the stable rates of inflation, exchange rate and current accounts, January is a suitable time to make it happen because of those three reasons. The last item, the rupiah plunged 170 points or around 0.85% to close the noon break at around 13,952 rupiah per US dollar. The correction was triggered by negative sentiments from the bomb attacks and gunfights that ensued the central Jakarta. The rupiah began to trade on a red zone along with almost all South Asian currencies. It opened with 23-point correction around 0.70% to 13,858 rupiah per US dollar. The rupiah was corrected further to report that a series of suicide bombing happened at the Sarina Mall, central Jakarta, at around 11 a.m. local time. Police and media reports so far stated that at least 6 people died from the incident. As reported earlier, 2 foreign nationals whose identities remain unknown performed suicide bombing at the traffic police post located opposite the Sarina Mall at around 10 a.m. local time. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Domination of Foreign Investment in Indonesia and Tourism Sector. The tourism industry has a major influence on economic activity. However, in some regions throughout Indonesia, the industry sometimes cannot prosper due to the absence of foreign investors to be interested in investing in the regions. In response, Indonesian government has enacted policy to stimulate investment in the tourism sector aiming at increasing the portion of foreign ownership. Head of the Investment Coordinating Board, BKBN, Pranky Sibrani, stated in Jakarta on Wednesday that there are some types of businesses in the field of tourism and creative economy that might be open to foreign ownership, such as tourist accommodation like hotels. He said the type of business that foreign investors owned up to 49% will be revised to open more than 50%. In the Presidential Decree number 39/2014, the type of business in the field of tourism and creative economy is set at maximum 49%, such as travel agency, bars, cafes, and motels. The policy to increase the portion of foreign ownership in the tourism sector will have a positive influence on the development of tourism in Indonesia. This policy is expected to attract foreign investors who typically have large capital to build hotels and develop the tourism industry in tourist destinations in Indonesia. The development of the tourism industry will further increase local revenue and absorb a lot of local people so as to improve the welfare of the local communities. Giving great opportunities to foreign investors to develop tourism in Indonesia is able to improve the economy of Indonesia, but the domination of foreign investors need to be convinced not to cripple the local tourism industry whose capital is smaller. The policy to increase the portion of foreign ownership in the tourism sector should be able to improve the competitiveness between foreign investors and local investors. The tourists will be spoiled because they will compete to provide the best services. In this regard, the tourism industry in Indonesia will grow and the Indonesian economy will get better. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program, Today in History, over Aerial World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We begin an independence era, Juanda Kartawijaya. It was January 14, 1911, in Tasikmalaya, West Java, where engineer H.R. Juanda Kartawijaya was born and later became a national hero and also the 10th and the last Prime Minister of Indonesia. He was serving as a Prime Minister of Indonesia from 9 April 1957 to July 9, 1959. Afterwards, he served as a Finance Minister in the Cabinet World War. His greatest contribution during his tenure was Juanda Declaration of 1957, which states that Indonesian Sea includes Indonesian Archipelago and one unified homeland, or known as an archipelago in the Law of Sea Convention of United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. Then his name is immortalized as the name of airport in Surabaya, Java, Juanda Airport, for his services in the fight for the construction of the airfield. His name is also immortalized for forest botanical name in Bandung, Forest Park Engineer Haji Juanda. Inside the park, there are mission and his monument. Juanda Kartawijaya died in Jakarta on 7 of November 1963 and was buried at Kalibata Heroes Cemetery in East Jakarta. While we move to the event taking place in January 14, 1942, on which Casablanca Conference ended World War II. In January 14, 1942, the Conference of World War I among Allied countries started taking place in Casablanca, Morocco. The purpose of this conference was to determine the strategy of the Allied powers to end the World War II. In addition, they also discussed plans to attack Sicily and the US bombing to Axis countries such as Germany, Italy, and Japan. Initially, there were three major state leaders that planned to participate in this conference. They were Roosevelt from USA, Churchill from the United Kingdom, and Stalin from Russia. However, Stalin refused to attend because of the country under threatened by Nazi attacks and a super winter. This conference resulted in a joint declaration that the war only ended with the unconditional surrender of the Axis countries. Listener, we conclude today in history with what happened in January 14, 1986, on which it was the dead day of initiator of Paris-Dakar Rally. Paris-Dakar Rally was an international rally of various types of vehicles ranging from motorcycle to trucks, but eventually its name was changed to Dakar Rally. Automotive sport is quite challenging and many manufacturers of motor vehicles and other products use this rally event as a means of promoting the strength and reliability of their products. This rally was held by the Amuri Sport Organization and for the first time in the title 1979 by crossing the European continent from the city of Paris, France to city of Dakar in Senegal. This race is open to amateurs and professionals. The amateur participants are usually about 80% of the whole participants. Indonesian non-rally driver and rider Tinton Suprapto ever joined in this famous rally, despite failing to finish because of the ferocity of nature that have to be passed. However, in the seventh implementation of the rally, the initiator of this rally, Terry Sabin, died in January 14, 1986, while overseeing the rally. He was killed when the helicopter carrying him crashed and exploded in addition in Mali due to the sandstorm stuck. In 2008, the rally was stopped due to political turmoil and the development disease in the countries of Africa. Finally, in 2009, the rally was moved to South America. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Rural Service Voice of Indonesia with today's focus entitled Indonesia Improves Performance to Pursue Its Birthworthiness in ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. So stay tuned. Entering the pre-market of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, in 2016, Indonesian government has kept improving its performance for 1 year to keep pace in boosting any kinds of facilities and infrastructure to deal with ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. President Joko Widodo said that there are no more effort is set working hard to fix the shortcomings faced by Indonesia. He also said that in principle all participant countries in AEC have the same concern since AEC has been affected in early January 2016. Indonesia should be confident and optimistic that Indonesia has the ability to face the free market. Thus, fixing the infrastructure such as ports and airports is a must to catch up for Indonesia in facing AEC. In addition, President Joko Widodo also said that the government will focus on the development of eastern regions of Indonesia during 2016. His side wants to support equal development throughout the territory of Indonesia with double budget allocations. Meanwhile, Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed that the free market of ASEAN Economic Community will create employment opportunities, especially with the influx of foreign workers to Indonesia. He also perceived that a portion of foreign workers will not take a portion of Indonesian people. Foreign workers will bring opportunity to encourage foreign investment in Indonesia and create jobs in Indonesia. On the other hand, a number of businesses in the country are believed to be able to compete in ASEAN Community. Even they will be able to expand some member countries of ASEAN Economic Community, Chairman of the Association of Food and Beverage Indonesia, GAPMI, Adi Lukman, said that some entrepreneurs have opened distribution to ASEAN countries like Myanmar. He also said that Indonesian national producers in Myanmar also market snacks, and they open not only factory but also distribution channels. Producers from Indonesia also import products from Indonesia. Adi added that Indonesian national food and beverage producer also tried to enter the market to the Philippines. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January 14, 2016. We begin the headlines with Republika, which wrote, Kalla asks Gavatar banned. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the misguided movements such as Gerakan Fajar Nusantara or Gavatar must be banned. Recently, many people were reported missing, allegedly joining an exodus with the Gavatar that is promising a new civilization. The Vice President admitted not to know the detail of Gavatar, but he persisted on demanding the ban if the group really violated the general faith, especially if related to the missing people. This ban of such groups, according to Kalla, is regulated in the Attorney General Office. Meanwhile, the Home Affairs Ministry named Gavatar as illegal mass organization because unregistered. However, the Home Affairs Ministry claimed unable to disband Gavatar. This is related to the Constitutional Court Decree 2014 or Law No. 17/2013 on Mass Organization. Still on Gavatar, Tempo wrote, "Government to ban Gavatar teaching." Attorney General Office's Junior Attorney for Intelligence, Adi Tukarisman, said the government will ban teaching of Gavatar that has been spreading to the whole of Indonesia and has 34 regional leader councils. The ban was issued after the People's Faith Supervisory Team, or PAKAM, stated that Gavatar deviated from Islam. The team led by the Attorney General consisted of Religious Affairs Ministry, Home Affairs Ministry, and Education Ministry. The ban, Adi explained, is in accordance with the Presidential Decree No. 1965 on Religious Abuse and Blasphemy Prevention. Gavatar began discussed since the disappearance of Dr. Richard Tri Handayani in Yogyakarta since December 30, 2015. She then was found by the police in Pangkalan Bun, Central Kalimantan. The police assumed Richa was recruited as Gavatar member. Media Indonesia also discussed Gavatar on its headline, entitled "Country Must Overcome Nationalism Problem." Several parties emphasized the importance of country's existence and people's awareness to suppress the movements contrary to national ideology, such as the Fajar Nusantara movement or Gavatar. Gavatar was highlighted because their action is unsettling and seen as misguided in the religion and nationalism aspects. Many see them to be similar with the Islamic State of Indonesia or NEE, and trying to change the Pancasila. Executive Director of Ma'arif Institute, Fajar Riza Ul Haq, said, "Gavatar is just an iceberg surface of the social disorientation issues in the society, which is triggered by the national problems. Without the social disorientation," Ul Haq added, "the people will not be easily tempted to join such organizations like Gavatar." Listener, we end today's headlines with Kompas. Fast train still waits to documents. Ministry of Transportation had issued a route permit for the Jakarta-Bandung fast train development. With the route permit issuance, the fast train development will just wait the detailed engineering design and environmental impact analysis result that will be published soon. After that, the groundbreaking that is scheduled on January 21st can be carried out. Transportation Minister's Communication and Public Information Bureau Head J. Barata said the route permit had been signed by the Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan last Tuesday, January 12th. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo affirmed that the state and the people should not be afraid with the link bond plans at Jalan Tamrin Central Jakarta on Tuesday morning. Security at State Palace has been tightened following bombings and shooting at Sarina Central Jakarta, even though President Joko Widodo is currently in Cirebon for a work visit. Based on Tempo's observation, there are more than professional security officers than usual at the palace entrance from Jalan Majapahit, and they are expecting more truly vehicles entering Presidential Palace and State Secretariat. Three suicide bombers blew themselves up near a police post in Jakarta Theater Building at Jalan Tamrin Central Jakarta on Tuesday morning. Tri Feranto, a security officer at Bank Mandiri Building located near the site of the explosions, witnessed and stated that the first and second explosion occurred in the Starbucks coffee shop at around 10:40 a.m. local time. He also said that the third explosion happened near the police post and hit the three suicide bombers and a police officer. The police headquarters said that the explosion around Sarina Plaza, Central Jakarta, killed six people. Three of them are the suspected terrorists and the other three are police officers. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises will facilitate 150 cooperatives and small and medium enterprises to go international. Economists are predicting that Bank Indonesia BI will lower its benchmark interest rate. This month, Chief Economist at the Development Bank of Singapore, DBS, Kundi Cahyadi, said that there is plenty of space for Bank Indonesia rate cut following the low rate of inflation last year. The rupiah plunged 170 points, or around 0.85%, to close the noon break at around 13,952 rupiah per US dollar. The correction was triggered by negative sentiments from the bomb attacks and gun fights that ensued in central Jakarta. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello there, it is a pleasure to be with you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'll invite you to travel to South Sulawesi province. So stay tuned in, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Last January the 10th, hundreds of South Sulawesi people gathered at the edge of Cikoang River, Takalar District, to hold Maudu Lompoa tradition, or the Great Maulid. This tradition was held to commemorate the birth of Prophet Muhammad. Maudu Lompoa tradition usually is carried out every the 29th of Rabiul Awal, or the last Rabiul Awal month in the Islamic calendar. Interestingly, the celebration is enlivened by colorful decorative mountains of eggs and also bowls. There are a series of events that must be conducted related to Maudu Lompoa. Preparation begins with providing chicken, rice, oil, eggs, preparing the julung-julung or boat, building a stage for the ceremony, and preparing the parade ground. Chicken that will be used in the ceremony must be castrated a month before the 12th Rabiul Awal or on the 10th of Syafar according to Islamic calendar. The chickens are kept so they would no longer eat from a wide range of unclean food. They also cannot be slaughtered just by anybody. It is the task of Anrong Guru, leader of the ceremonial procession. In addition to chicken, rice used in all Maudu processions must also be specially processed, pounded in a mortar that had been cleaned. The mortar should be fenced and may not be put on the ground. Rice being pounded must be guarded carefully, not one single grain may fall to the ground. Then, waste of this process must be collected carefully in places that are not susceptible to dirt until the reading of Surat Rate or Book of Maudu is completed. The book tells the story of the birth of Prophet Muhammad until the coming of Islam to South Sulawesi. The process of rice supply does not stop here, because every family can only have 4 liters of rice, which means that every human being consists of 4 aspects of origins, namely earth, water, wind, and fire. Baskets of rice used is made of palm leaves. The size is stratified according to the number of family members. In addition to chicken and rice, the cooking oil must also be specially made and can only be used exclusively for the event. Eggs must be boiled first and then stepped or skewed at the end of a piece of bamboo that has been broken apart and plucked on top of the basket. Then there is a julung-julung or boat made of bamboo or wood with two masts, with colorful cloth as the sail and flag. The julung-julung boat is a symbol of the coming of the truth of the prophet's teachings. The boat must have four poles and is put rather high so that its shape is similar to a stage. On the back of the boat usually is plastered banknotes of 5,000 rupiah or 10,000 rupiahs. For families who are financially capable, are required to make their own boat, while poor families are usually grouped to make a communal boat. After all the materials are prepared, Maudu Lompoa tradition begins with filling the baskets. They are filled with half-cooked rice, chicken wrapped in banana leaves, and then covered with banana leaves or coconut leaves. The eggs that have been pierced with bamboo are also attached at the top of the baskets. Then the baskets are decorated with colorful paper or cloth. At the height of Maudu Lompoa tradition, the baskets will be delivered by the owner to the Cikoang Riverbank. This will later be accepted by the leader of the ritual. He then sits cross-legged, burns incense, and prays that the baskets and the offering are received with pleasure by the Prophet Muhammad. Next is reading the Book of Rate. This book contains stories or poems of praise to the Prophet and his family. After the Book of Rate is read, people begin to feast together, and before getting ready to go home, everybody will be given some food to be taken home, called Kanre Maudu, as a blessing from the Prophet. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today with the topic Maudu Lompoa Tradition. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Rahma. Today's edition presents you Ratep Musakat Dance. Having 34 provinces in the archipelago, Indonesia is indeed rich in culture and tradition. Veranda of Mecca, that's what Nanggro Aceh Darussalam is called, a province which applies administration system based on Islamic Sharia. Therefore, Aceh provincial government requires all women to wear hijab or headdress. To spread Islamic Sharia and other information related to social issues, Aceh people use culture in this area, including through dance. In Aceh, there is a dance which is used as a medium of proselytizing for ulama. This dance is called Ratib Musakat. The name Ratib Musakat derives from Arabic language, namely Ratib, the origin word of Ratib, which means prayer, and Musaka, the origin word of Sakat, which means silent. People say that the movements of Ratib Musakat were created by the son of Tengku Abdurrahim, as known as Habib Senagan or Nagan Raya, while its poem or ratib was created by Tengku Cik Inkala, an ulama in Senagan who lived in the 19th century. The content of the poem is about praise to Allah or God and Prophet Muhammad. This dance develops mostly in Medang Ararumoh Baru in southwest Aceh. Ratib Musakat dance uses Aceh language presented by a group of women wearing Aceh traditional language accompanied by musical instrument, which is rapai. Done in a sitting and standing position, this dance also has a basic movement, namely patting chest and clapping hands. This dance was performed after reading Al-Quran in the evening. Then it was performed in religious ceremonies, big days, wedding ceremony, and other events which are in line with religious teaching. At the moment, Ratib Musakat dance is so popular in Indonesia and even in the world. It is because of its beauty, dynamic, and fast movement. To learn this dance, it needs seriousness and patience. Because of its strong attraction, many people out of Aceh and even abroad want to learn this dance. Therefore, Ratib Musakat deserves to be Indonesian traditional art. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on Ratib Musakat dance. Thank you for listening. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back to Music Corner, a regular segment introducing you Indonesian musics. Today's edition, we will feature an Indonesian popular singer, Teti Kadi. But before we tell you more about Teti Kadi's career as a singer, why don't we listen to one of her hits entitled Pulau Seribu or The Thousand Islands? Happy listening.
Waktu terang bulan, ku pergi berlayar, pergi pemandangan new melambai di sepanjang pantai. Ayo kawan semua pergi ke sana, Pulau Seribu memikat hati sungguh indah. Angin sepoi-sepoi berlayar menuju pantai Pulau Seribu. Musik. menyerang bulan. Ku pergi berlayar, pergi menuju Pulau Seribu. Pulau indah permai dengan pemandangan liur melambai di sepanjang pantai. Sepai-sepai perahu berlayar menuju pantai Pulau Seribu.
Listener, a group of islands in Sunda Strait called Pulau Seribu, or in English, Thousand Islands, has become a favorite getaway for the people in Jakarta at the weekends because of its beauty. However, for a songwriter, the tourist spot had become an inspiration. The song Pulau Seribu, which was very popular in the 60s to 70s, was inspired by the beauty of Pulau Seribu, or Thousand Islands. Sung by Teddy Kadi, Pulau Seribu is not only popular in Indonesia, but also in the neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Singapore. Well, listener, actually, we would like to tell you more about the singer who was born on April the 3rd, 1952. But after listening to the other hits of her in the 70s, enjoy.
Lagu.
Listener, it can't be denied that Tetikadi's cousin, songwriter and musician Arianto, had a very important role in her debut as a singer. She became prominent in Indonesian pop music world thanks to her cousin, who wrote many songs for Teti, which later became hits. Tetikadi's career did not start as a champion or any singing festival or talent competition, but her distinctive voice combined with Arianto's work made every song she released, like Sepanjang Jalan Kenangan or Along the Memory Lane, and then Teratai Putih or The White Lotus, and many others, became hits instantly. Maybe for today's young generation, the songs are not so familiar, but the quality really lasting forever. Until today, some of the Tetikadi's songs are still well loved because the arrangement, strung in the rhythm of the song, are in tune with the character of the vocal of Tetikadi. No wonder that his songs, which were popular in the 60s, can still be enjoyed until now. Well, then, listener, why don't we listen to more songs by Tetikadi? The next one will be Mawar Berduri or The Thorny Rose. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Today, Teddy Kadi is more interested in politics instead of singing. In 2004, she was elected member of parliament from the Democratic Party. Nevertheless, her artistic talent is followed by her three children who form their own group band, which is quite popular in Indonesia. Well then, listener, to conclude today's music corner, why don't we listen to the last two songs by Teddy Kadi, entitled Layu Sebelum Berkembang or Faded Before Blooming, and Sepasang Rusa or A Pair of Tears. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
Ucapkan sayang sebelum kau pergi. Ucapkan sayang sekali lagi. Biar hatiku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.